Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 184, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Save me, O God, because the floods come in upon my soul. I sink in depths where none can stand. Deep waters o'er me roll. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 184.
Of scripture to be read this afternoon can be found in 2 Corinthians, thereof chapter 7, but before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 2 Corinthians 7. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulations. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you! Yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for his cause that had done the wrong, nor for his cause that suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. Therefore we were comforted in your comfort. Yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. For if I have boasted anything to him of you, I am not ashamed. But as we spake all things to you in truth, even so our boasting, which are made before Titus, is found a truth. And his inward affection is more abundant toward you, whilst he remembereth the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling ye received him. I rejoice therefore that I have confidence in you in all things.
We hope to remember in prayer this afternoon the father of Gerrit Bredewech, who was taken suddenly to the hospital this morning. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of the earth, who sittest in the heavens and who reignest over all the circles of this earth, could it please thee to remember this father, this elder, who was taken in the midst of his duties in this morning so suddenly unto the hospital? O Lord, could it please thee to raise him up, to spare his life, not only in the midst of his family, but could it be also in the midst of that church amongst whom that he labors each and every day? For thou knowest all the body and what is necessary for it. And wilt thou remember them all together? Thou dost say in thy holy word that thou dost lead thy people forth by the right way, that they might go unto the city of habitation, or that way that seems not right in our own eyes so often. But thou sayest, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction, and it is a way in which we will not agree with our flesh, but we can be made to agree by thee. To be brought under all thy ways. Oh, remember us all together. We travel each one to a great and never-ending eternity in our life. That is as a vapor. It is as the grass. It appears for a moment, and then when the wind bloweth over it, it is gone. Wilt thou remember all those that mourn also in these days? For thou knowest also the sorrow that lives in their hearts, when they must miss a husband, father, grandfather. Lord, wilt thou care for each and every one and teach us all the frailty of our life and the shortness thereof, that we go each one to our long home. Oh, that thou may bless all these ways, also thy judgments and all the afflictions, that we may be brought to thy footstool in thy mercy, that thou may cause our hearts to yearn and to long for thee, the true and the living God. Oh, that we might learn to miss thee by that true regeneration, and more than we miss those who have gone before us, and that we may desire and seek that separation between thee and our soul would be taken away. Lord, that thou may forgive all of our transgressions. Wilt thou wash and cleanse us in that precious and all-atoning blood of thy dear Son? Oh, that we may be made into new creatures, for we are so carnal, and we are those who cleave to all that is here below. Oh, that thou may grant that we may receive that new man within our hearts, that we may be made each one of us into a soldier that is fighting within that church militant, that sin may truly be made evil unto our hearts, that we may hate it, that we may detest it for its own sake and for thy great name's sake, that we may flee from it, that we may be given a true repentance. Oh, draw us, Lord, else we will never run after thee, because all must come from thee, even that life that cometh from above, that thou may seek us out. And then as that great shepherd, as we have gone astray in our father Adam, and we are so contented in that way wherein we are going by nature, so that we have not a care and a concern for the need of our souls, and we can put it off so easily, except that thou dost stop us in our mad career, and that thou dost awaken us from our death sleep, and that thou dost give unto us a new heart. Oh, that thou may look upon young and old together, be with our children, our youth. Wilt thou give in the days of their youth to remember their Creator, and that thou may keep and watch over and protect them. Oh, cause their hearts, while they are still young, to see the vanity of all that is here below,
And then as parents, as older ones, then we have so many lawful things in the midst of this world that do take all our thought and all our cares. And then even in the midst of thy own church, that thou didst say, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Oh, that we may be given also choose that part, and that we may be brought to thy blessed feet, and that to hear thee and thy holy word, and that that may become more than all the world in which we do live. Oh, that we need it for the first time, but we need it also by renewal. For thou didst say unto thy own people, that I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Oh, Lord, that thou wouldst draw again, because we cannot draw ourselves. It is all thy work. Oh, that thou wouldst begin with us, that thou wouldst also finish it, for thou art the Alpha, and thou art the Omega, and thou dost never forsake the work of thine own hands. O Lord, wilt thou remember thy people? Wilt thou cause them to be instructed? Wilt thou lead them in those paths as blind by a way that they knew not, and that they may receive from thee that power that they cannot give unto themselves? Oh, then they need it, Lord. They cannot do just with the form. They cannot do with the custom. Oh, then it can be that from time to time they are crying out under that sleep wherein they so often are. Oh, Lord, wilt thou come again? Oh, that I may hear thy voice, that I may see thy countenance. O Lord, that thou may smile upon me, that thou may speak a word unto my soul, that thou may give me a token for good. Remember them in the places where they are, and wilt thou give in the midst of us those holy workings of thy Spirit, amidst young and old together, and be with all those that have grown old under the preaching and reading of thy holy word, as they say that the older the colder, but thou can break a hard heart, and thou can melt a cold heart, and it is all with thee as just to speak a word. O Lord, wilt thou do it for thy name's sake? Give a little crumb unto those who do hunger, and give a little to drink unto those that do thirst, and give hunger where there is none, and thirst where there is none. O give a sigh to sigh, and a cry to cry in the midst of thy church. Lord, wilt thou hear us for the sake of thy great and holy name, though that we are so undeserving of the least of all thy notice and of all thy attention. Wilt thou care for all the needy? Thou knowest all their places when we do not. For there is so much that is hidden, all the crosses that may be in the families or that may be in individual hearts, that are carried over this world. Oh, that it may not be as those who are in the world, where there is no place to go, and where that there is a despair and a leaving over to fate. Oh, Lord, what a sorry place do we live in the midst of this world. What a sorry heart that we carry about with us, so dead in sins and in trespasses. But, oh, do give, when we may dwell from day to day under thy word to read it and to hear it. Oh, do give, And that there may be even in an outward way a cry in the midst of us, under the deadness, under the coldness, Lord, come. Lord, convert me. Give me to enter into thy kingdom. Though I be not as one of thy handmaidens, do look upon young and old. Care for us as a denomination, as a congregation. Care thou for the government amongst whom, under whom that we do dwell. Remember, and wilt thou bring us back again to thy word and to thy everlasting testimony. Be with the judges of our land. Thou knowest all their place. Wilt thou bring thy word back unto the judgment seat from which we have departed already so very, very far, and also to the places where laws are made in our lands. Wilt thou be with those judges also that still do deliberate over the decision concerning our own school and many others? O Lord, we beseech thee, who hast the heart of all men in thy hands, to hear us from thy dwelling place, and to and in hearing to forgive all our sins, and to look upon us in thy favor. For there is so much also in a natural way that we are so dependent upon thee, and we have not that which we would need to continue. O Lord, we beseech thee, all must come from thee. Wilt thou give it in thy mercy? Wilt thou supply for us as a people, and that we may truly turn from our sins and bow before thee, and that we may not look only for the blessings, but that we may look unto thee, our maker and our creator, and that we may need thee as our mediator. Remember all thy servants, increase thou their number in the time in which we are, and when we do look for the curatorium to meet soon, O Lord, we beseech thee, could it please thee, from where we do not know, but thou knowest where, thou knowest who, could it please thee, to yet give us men who are truly in thy favor, to serve in the midst of our denomination. Thou knowest, O Lord, all the condition that we are in. Thou knowest all the frailty. Thou knowest all how all the weakness amidst not only our own, but also others. They become older. O Lord, we need for the rising generation in the years to come, that thou may give men who are truly converted, that have that tender fear of thy name burning and living in their hearts, those who may be taught by thee and given gifts by thee, that they may go forth into the labors to bring thy word in the midst of the established congregations. O Lord, deal not with us as we deserve, that the truth that thou hast given our forefathers to know and to experience in their hearts, and to give unto us as a blessed heritage, O Lord, we beseech thee, that it may not depart from us, and that we may have ourselves a desire to know the matters, and that there may be those who may be given to preach from the housetops what takes place in the inner chambers of thy true church. Do it, Lord, for thy great name's sake, and let not thy church to diminish here below, but wilt thou bring them in. Help us, O Lord, also in this afternoon, remember and help us to bring thy word. And wilt thou give liberty, give opening, and give the power of thy Holy Spirit to go from pew to pew. And wilt thou give a true morning among us. And wilt thou give that it may be unto a true rejoicing. Give us wisdom, give us strength, give us love, give us simplicity, give us thy spirit in a double measure, and grant that thy name may be glorified, thy presence may be felt and experienced, that our souls may be delivered for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 141 all the stanzas. Gracious God, my heart renew. Make my spirit right and true. Cast me not away from thee, and let thy spirit dwell in me. Thy salvation's joy impart. Steadfast make my willing heart. This is the second wedding announcement of Henk van Driesten and Bailey van Herk on Friday, March the 1st at 11 o'clock a.m. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by Tuesday, February the 26th. And the last collection today is for the Canadian Lord's Day Association, Psalter 141. Thank you. beloved congregation, David wrote, "Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore." Do we seek the Lord? Isaiah, he wrote, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." The Lord Jesus himself, he said, "Seek and ye shall find." And yet we read in John 6 that the Lord Jesus, he gives a rebuke. He says, "Ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye ate of the loaves and were filled." Thus, the Lord condemned their seeking. Though the Word of God is full of admonitions to seek, yet the Lord Jesus himself condemned it. Wherefore? Because, he said, your motive is not right. Because, he said, ye seek me for the wrong reason. Ye seek me for the benefits. Ye seek me because ye ate of the loaves, but you do not seek me because ye saw the miracles. You do not seek me because I am God. Because you are in need of that same divine power. Thus, we read the Apostle James. Then he writes also that ye ask and you do not receive because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Thus the Lord Jesus, he says, ye seek me for the wrong reason. The world is full of religion. And it can even be that our own heart that is full of religion. But with how much of that religion is the Lord himself pleased? Because with the Pharisees' religion, the Lord Jesus was not pleased. Pharisees were not pleased with Christ. They were not pleased that he did sit and eat with publicans and sinners. But neither was Christ pleased with the Pharisees, nor was he pleased with their religion. And why not? We wish to hear something of that with the Lord's help this afternoon. Out of Luke 15, the 7th verse in continuation from last week. Luke 17, verse 7. Luke 15, verse 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. So far the words of our text. So last week, then we heard of the parable of the lost sheep. First, the reason for this parable. We saw that instruction that was provoked by the murmuring of the Pharisees and of the scribes. Second, we consider the content of that parable in the verses 3 through 6. And today, the instruction, we would say the application that the Lord Jesus gave in the end of this parable, which we want to consider in two thoughts. First, he speaks about joy in heaven. And second, he speaks about the cause of this joy in heaven, or what that joy in heaven is over. Thus, the instruction from the parable of the lost sheep, first, joy in heaven, and second, the cause of this joy in heaven. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven. Say, what does that mean? Is there not always, boys and girls, joy in heaven? We would say there is nothing but joy in heaven. We do not know what heaven is. We cannot comprehend what heaven is because we are on the earth and we are carnal creatures. But who is speaking here? This is not a carnal creature who is speaking. This is the Son of God. This is He who knows what it is in heaven. This is He who, He says, came down from heaven. There are some things that we know of heaven. How do we know them? We know them because they are told to us in the Word of God. We cannot comprehend them, but we know the truth of them from this Word of God. So in heaven, we know that there is no sorrow, because the Bible says, boys and girls, that God, He shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. So there is no diminishing of the joy that is in heaven. Neither is there any change in God Himself, in emotion as it is in man. And yet, the Lord Jesus, He is speaking about a very special rejoicing that there is in heaven. He says, joy in heaven. Thus, there is something in which that holy God, something in which His Father Himself is taking a very special delight. He speaks about something in which God Himself, He says, is very well pleased. What kind of joy is that? We read, He says, I say unto you that likewise. Thus, He compares this joy, as we heard last time, to something that is on the earth, to a joy that is experienced among men here below, and then a special joy we have heard when a shepherd, he is finding, when he is restoring once again his lost sheep. Thus, the Lord, He is as that shepherd, taking a very special interest in each and every one of His sheep. They are His elect. They are chosen from eternity. That is not that the Lord has only elected those whom He foreknew would repent and believe in Him. No, but the Lord, He will actually deliver, He will actually save, He will go out as that good shepherd after those whose names are written, He says, in that book of life. Thus, a special interest in His own elect. And He is then rejoicing, we can read, in the good of that people. Everything in this world working together by His providence for good to them that love God. And now that joy He does not keep, the Lord Jesus says, to Himself. But He says, this shepherd, he cometh home and calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And thus we read it also here in verse 10. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God. Thus, he speaks about the angels. Then he says that that joy, that rejoicing that is in God, in gathering one of his sheep, that is a joy that is shared also in heaven with the holy angels. Thus, who of us is able to fathom what that is in heaven? That holy joy, that holy ecstasy, when the angels of God, they are bursting forth into song. It is a heavenly host, we read in God's word, an innumerable company of angels. And when they are beginning to sing, then it must be that the very foundations of those heavenly mansions, that they are shaking, that they are reverberating with the sound of those holy angels. A sound of joy, a sound of gladness that is going out to the uttermost bounds of that infinite abode, of that blessed, that celestial city. Thus, joy in the presence of the angels of God, a special joy at a happening upon the earth. Well, we can read of joy of the angels. Do you remember that, children? We have considered that only a little time ago. And when the Lord Jesus, He came from heaven. Oh, we can even go back. We can go back further than that, because the Bible that speaks about a joy even when this earth was created. Because Job, he says, that at the when the foundations of this earth were laid, he says, then all the sons of God, they shouted for joy. Thus it speaks about the angels. When the Lord, he has created those angels, and afterwards created also the world, then those sons of God, they have rejoiced in the creation of the world. And then also, when that Son of Man, he has come into this world, we can read how that those angels did come and they did sing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We can read of the Lord Jesus that he has ascended into heaven. There also there were angels. And then it must be that those angels, they have also sung at that time when he was received in triumph at the completion of all the meritorious work for his church. And now we read of another singing. Another time that the angels of God, they are rejoicing. When is it? It is at the application. It is when that Spirit of the Lord, he is working in the midst of this world. And when that work of Christ is being brought with power in the heart of this one or of that one in this world. Thus, that brings us to the second place. What is the cause of this joy in heaven? I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. There you have the cause. It says, over one sinner that repented. Repentance. The cause of joy in heaven. Thus, what is repentance? What is repentance that it would cause joy in heaven? What is repentance that it may cause gladness in God. What is repentance that it would be so noticed in that eternal world that the angels themselves, they would burst into singing? Repentance, the word repentance, that is used in two different senses in the Bible. We read that Judas, after he committed his awful sin, that he repented himself. What do you think, children? Do you think that there was then joy in heaven at the repentance of Judas? There was not. Why? Because that is not the repentance that Christ is speaking about here. That is something altogether different. That is speaking about something that is so common to mankind in this world. That is speaking about something that we do call regret. Regret that is a perfectly natural feeling. It is a selfish emotion. Regret that feels shame. I am ashamed of my sin. Are you ashamed of your sin, young people? We live in a world wherein even shame for sin that diminishes. When everyone will follow after it, then there is less and less shame felt for sin in this world. Then it becomes so common that men are reveling in it. Nevertheless, the conscience that is still speaking, because you cannot completely get rid of your conscience. And so that conscience that is sometimes regretting what we have done, because in our conscience we are receiving fear and there is a dread for the punishment that is coming unto me. And so this regret that is welling up in the heart, this is something that is belonging to all men, that is common to all of the fallen race of man here below. Everyone has their regrets. Everyone has those things, children, young people. Everyone says, he looks back and he says, oh, if only I did not do this. If only I did not do that. We have to carry that with us the rest of our life. Be careful in the days of your youth that the fear of the Lord may fill your heart. We do not need to repent of those sins that we have not committed, nor will we be sorry when we have not walked in those sins that this entire world is walking in. Nevertheless, regret that will live in the heart of men. The Apostle Paul, we read together, he calls this regret the sorrow of the world. The sorrow of the world because it is a sorrow that is living in the heart of the world, amongst all of the world. It is a sorrow which is a worldly sorrow. And he says it is a sorrow that worketh death. Why does that sorrow work death? When a man, he carries that sorrow, that burden, that conscience, and there is no place to go with it. What do we read in God's word? We read the light of the body that is the eye. Christ says, if the eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, then thy whole body shall be full of darkness. when that eye is evil, when it is not single, when it is not upright, then Christ says, be careful that that very light that is in you, the light of the eye, that be not darkness. Thus, that sorrow that is living in the heart of the world, that is a sorrow that is working death. It is bringing man even unto the grave. The regrets of a man's life, sometimes that a man is taking his own life, putting an end to it because of regret. When the Lord Jesus, he speaks here about a sinner that repenteth, then he's speaking about something altogether different. What is that? Well, that repentance that is a change in a person's mind because he has a new feeling in his heart. So, repentance, true repentance, is what we call a moral emotion. That sounds like a difficult word. It is not difficult. A moral emotion. So what are emotions, children? Do you sometimes have emotions? Sometimes you are very glad. Sometimes you are very sad. They are your emotions. So that repentance, that is an emotion. And it is a moral emotion. So moral, that has to do with what? That has to do with what is right and wrong. So a moral emotion, that is feelings, new feelings about things that are right and things that are wrong. So there is a feeling, there is a sense of the filthiness of sin. There is a sense of the pollution of sin. There is a feeling about the evil of sin that is over against the holiness of God, that is over against the righteousness of the law of God. Thus David, when he had sinned, he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Thus, he felt something of the great evil of sin in his heart. In true repentance, sin causes a certain pain. Pain in the heart. Why? Because of love. Children, if you love mother and you sin against mother, then your thoughts afterwards, they will give you pain, what you have done. Why? Because of love for mother. There is pain in our heart at injustice in the world. For example, is there not pain? What do we feel in our heart when we read in God's word that Jezebel, that wicked woman, with her power, put Naboth, that God-fearing man, to death? Then there is something within us that feels how unjust that this is. There is something within us that does not leave us easy. It does not give us rest. There is a certain pain that is within our heart at all the injustices that are done in this world. Now that is in God's common grace, still existing in the heart of a man. But when the Lord, he is giving true repentance, then there is also this pain
that is in the heart because not of the consequences of sin merely, not because of the punishment merely, not because of hell or heaven, no, but a pain in the heart because of the evil of sin itself. That is a pain which very naturally makes a man flee. It makes a man hate that evil. It makes him want to depart from that evil. Oh, the pain that was in the heart of Peter after he had sinned was the pain of true repentance. And what do we read? That Peter went out and he wept bitterly. Where does that come from? We read that from 2 Corinthians 7. What the Apostle Paul, he says, it comes from a godly sorrow. He says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance. Godly sorrow in the heart is working this change of mind. Godly sorrow is working this pain. Godly sorrow is working this repentance, he says, not to be repented of, never to be regretted in your life. Thus, he speaks about this godly sorrow. He speaks about a new heart. He speaks about a new disposition. He speaks about new feelings of what is right and what is wrong. New pains, new sorrows, a new life, a dead heart cannot feel. It cannot feel these same things. Neither can that dead heart change itself. It can try to imitate that living heart, but it cannot actually produce in itself what is living in this living heart. Where does that come from? True repentance is a duty. We read that in the Word of God. But it is not only a duty. It is not only a mere duty. True repentance that is also a gift. True repentance is proceeding from something. It is proceeding from the new birth. It is proceeding from true regeneration. It is proceeding from heaven. It is proceeding from Christ. It is proceeding from the Holy Spirit. Peter, he says, speaks of Christ. He says, God. Peter, he says that God hath exalted him highly at the right hand of God to be a prince and a savior. Why? That he may give, he says, repentance unto Israel and the forgiveness of sins. Thus, God hath highly exalted him that he may give something. And that gift that is the gift of repentance. Thus, repentance that is the work of the Spirit. Repentance is the evidence of that Spirit's work. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. Thus, repentance can never come before, as the Arminians say, repentance, true repentance, can never come before regeneration.
Because it is flowing out of regeneration. Before regeneration, there is no godly sorrow to work this repentance. Indeed, we may have regret before regeneration, because that is belonging to commonly to fallen mankind. But it is not possible to have this true repentance without that godly sorrow to work it. Repentance is in itself no ground before God. Repentance is in itself nothing that can merit favor with God. Repentance is not obedience. The Lord says we must obey, but repentance is not obedience. Repentance that is a sorrowful heart. Repentance that is a feeling. Repentance that is a feeling about what is right, about what is wrong. It is acknowledging guilt. But when I acknowledge guilt, that does not mean that I have now made everything right. Right, boys and girls? When you have done wrong and you are accused of that wrong, and you acknowledge, I hope that you may acknowledge when you are wrong and say you are wrong and be sorry that you are wrong. But when you are sorry that you are wrong, you have not yet made it right. Thus, repentance is no merit before the Lord. It does not make it right with God. It does not make it right with my neighbor. There is no reparation. It does not correct everything that I have wronged. And therefore, repentance is not something that is able to save us. And yet Paul, he calls it repentance unto salvation. Why? Because that repentance, though it cannot deliver us, that is leading somewhere. That repentance is one of the first fruits. That repentance is one of the first evidences that there is a godly sorrow that is living in our heart. When I have a change in my mind, when I have new feelings in my heart about right and wrong, then when that makes it well up in my heart, that is one of now the first evidences in my heart that that Spirit of the Lord, He works. Thus, repentance, that is not only a duty, it is also a gift of God. And therefore we read here that there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, because this is not just the work of a man, but in this the Lord, He is rejoicing over His own work. But let us sing. Psalter 186, 1 through 4. Though I am poor and sorrowful, hear Thou, O God, my cry. Let Thy salvation come to me and lift me up on high. 1 through 4 of Psalter 186.
I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Congregation, when a man here on this in this world bursts into tears, then the angels of God, they burst into singing. We read of a man in God's word. He stood afar off, and he smote upon his breast. And in that moment, and then the angels in heaven, they began to pluck children on their harps. We read in God's word, harpers harping with their harps. When a man in this world truly becomes displeased with himself and displeased with his own works, then God himself, he is rejoicing with his own good pleasure in his work, that is, in his work of regeneration. Is that not a wonder? David, he says, who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, and who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and that are in the earth, and that has especially to do with the poor and the needy in his church. Those, as we have sung it together, the Lord, he is rejoicing in that broken, in that contrite heart, more than all the sacrifices that could be offered unto him. And that rejoicing we read here, that is more than over the 99 just persons who need no repentance. What is now a just person? That is a person who is righteous. That is a person who is living according to the law of God. He is without sin, a just person. You say, is the Lord not pleased with such a person? Congregation, there is no such person. We read in God's word, and we heard it this morning, that there is no man that is without sin. We are born, we are conceived in sin. And thus when he says, more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance, then he does not say it literally, but he speaks about those who do not feel the need for that repentance. They have never felt the evil of sin. They have never felt the need to turn from that sin. Thus they seem to themselves to be persons who need no repentance. They say, what have I done? What is my sin? I am not more evil than all the persons that are around and about me in this world. It is possible that we are baptized, but you know, we do not read in God's word that there is joy in heaven when we are baptized. We can do confession of faith
We do not read there is joy in heaven when we make such a profession. We can do many wonderful works in this world. We can even have the name of Christ on our lips. And we do not read that there is joy in heaven. But when Manasseh, he bent his knees in that prison, then the angels rejoiced. What does the Lord Jesus say with this? He says, with all our religion, this is the thing that is pleasing unto the Lord. That does not mean all those other things, of course. They are not good. In an outward way, they are also pleasing unto the Lord. It is not that they mean nothing. No, because the rich young ruler, who was an obedient young man, outwardly, that rich young ruler, it says the Lord Jesus loved him. Why? Because in an outward way, that man walked a right life. Can we say that to young people? As that man said, all these things have I kept from my youth up. And then there is a certain outward love that the Lord Jesus had for that man for that reason. And yet, that is not the same love that he has unto his church. Nor is it that same, because now he says there is joy in heaven more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Repentance is necessary. We cannot be saved without it. There is no forgiveness without repentance. The Lord Jesus, when he began to preach, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." John the Baptist, he preached repentance for the remission of sins. We read the Lord Jesus, he is speaking to those Emmaus travelers. He says that it behooved the Son of Man to suffer and to die and to rise again the third day, that repentance and remission, they always go together, should be preached among all nations, repentance and remission. The Apostle Paul, he says, be not deceived, because fornicators and idolaters and whoremongers and effeminate and abusers of themselves with mankind, and thieves, and covetous, and revilers, and extortioners, they shall not enter into the kingdom of God. That cannot be. Why not? Because we read, there shall enter therein nothing that defileth. You say, who then can be saved? Oh, there is not the vilest that is not welcome at the feet of Christ in that way of true repentance. Then there is no sinner that is too great. The Apostle Paul says to the Corinthians, he says, and such were some of you. But he says, you are washed. But you are justified. but you are sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Do you know what the prophet Ezekiel says in the name of the Lord? He says, neither will any of their transgressions be mentioned unto them. David says, my sin is covered. It is a full and a free remission. Where is now that godly sorrow that worketh repentance not to be repented of? Is there such a godly sorrow in the midst of us, in our hearts, that does make heaven itself to rejoice? Is there work also in our congregation for this great shepherd? Then there must be a lost sinner. Are there those that cannot find their way back, that have lost their way? Has sin become an evil to you? Has sin become a burden to your heart, though you are not able to rid it out of your heart? Have you ever become a lost sinner before God? Last week, when we were speaking together in the consistory room for a few moments, then you know our brother elder, he has been working with sheep for many years, and he said this. He said, when I am in my house, then I can hear by the tone of the cry if there is something wrong. You understand that, children? Because those sheep, they are making more noises. But he can hear from inside if there is something wrong. There is much prayer in the world. We pray every day. You say, my prayer is not heard. There is no answer. Is there something wrong? Because if there is something wrong, then it will be heard by the Lord in our tone. He hears the needy when they cry. He saves their souls when death draws nigh. When there is something wrong, then that can be heard by the Lord. I cry in deep need, and thy help I implore. Make haste to my rescue, I pray. Is there something wrong? Is there something that you need to be delivered from? Is sin such an evil that you cannot rend out of your heart? That you need a deliverer? That you need a savior to save you from your sin? Does that good shepherd, does he ever hear you so? The tone of the cry of your heart, that he may hear it from heaven, his dwelling place, to say, there is something wrong. I must go. I must send my spirit. And there is something wrong. He cries in deep need. Oh, ask the Lord to give you a heartfelt sorrow. A heartfelt sorrow, a godly sorrow for sin. True repentance. Meditate. Meditate much on the holiness of God. that we may see something and feel something of the evil of sin. Job, he said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But he says, now my eye seeth thee. Wherefore, he says, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes, or meditate. We cannot give it to ourselves, no, but meditate much on that holiness of God. Meditate much on the goodness of God. Does not the Apostle Paul also say, knowest thou not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Breaks our heart. Brings us to his own footstool. Supplicate. Beg the Lord. He cannot do it for our sake. But you know, we have in this text, we have a holy argument. We have a foundation for supplication. Because he cannot do it for our sake. But he can do it for his name's sake. And he does do it for his name's sake. And now you may say, O Lord, I am unworthy. But wilt thou do it, that there may be joy in heaven? That thou mayst receive honor when this hard heart may be broken, when I may be given a right view of sin, the awfulness of sin, the evil of sin, of thy goodness, of thy holiness. And then the angels of God, O Lord, they shall burst into singing. When my heart will be sorrowful in truth. But one day, that sorrow that also shall be turned into joy. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou convert us for the first time and also by renewal? For that a true sight of sin that must be given unto us, that we may feel it, that we may sorrow over it, that we may weep over it, that we may repent of it, that we may be forgiven it. Wilt thou look upon us in the week to come? Help each one in the place they receive in this world, and wilt thou grant unto those who hope to be united in holy matrimony, give to them meditation a little in the busyness of life also in this week, a little meditation upon thee, and the significance of what shall take place when thou art willing, and that desire that they may be united not only to one another, but that they may become thy bride. And wilt thou gather with us when we gather together, and wilt thou forgive all of our many sins, and wilt thou bless thy own word for Jesus' sake. Amen. Two hundred eighty-four, 1, 2, and 5. O come, my soul, bless thou the Lord thy Maker, and all within me bless his holy name. And what follows? 1, 2, and 5 of 284. Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.